Last week, we started kind of a series, but I'm just going to say it was a message on doors. And I wanted to just do a refresher as we move in, because it was kind of part A to today. We talked about doors being their physical doors. We talked about all the types of crazy physical doors, and even squeaky doors and stuck doors. And anyway, you need to go listen to the video. It's online. But it's also really about the metaphor of that of in the spiritual realm, and that God opens doors in your life, but God can close doors in your life. Do you all agree with that? And there's a spiritual significance, and we had a key verse. We had many verses, but we had a key verse, and it comes out of Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, and it's to the church of Philadelphia, the brotherly love, and it says, Jesus, this is Jesus saying, I hold the key of David in my hand, the doors that I unlock. Now, imagine, we talked about doors yesterday, and when you think of keys, you always think of either a gate or some kind of a place that must be unlocked. It's not available unless it's unlocked. And here's Jesus talking to us through this book of Revelation, but I believe it's for us today to be reminded as believers that he holds the key of David in his hand, and the doors that he says, I unlock and open, no one else can close. Do you all believe that? Do you believe that the Lord opens doors? Well, of course. And any doors that I shut and lock, no one else will be able to open. I love verse 8, though. It says, now I know everything you have done. That means pretty much he knows that we're not all perfected yet. And he was speaking to the church of Philadelphia the same way. I believe that today. So he says, so look, I'm placing, what does it say here? Before you. I'm placing, this is the Lord himself today is saying, I know you all are a bunch of, well, the people sitting next to you are knuckleheads. Okay. And you're being led by a knucklehead, all right, the head knucklehead. But he said, look, but I'm placing, I know your life, I know you're not perfected yet, but I'm placing an open door before you. And it's a door that no one can shut, and I know that you're not strong, I know you've kept the word and you've been faithful to me. And I believe that can be a verse last week that we can carry over into today. The finishing line. I have a little quick video that I'd like for us to see that just kind of sets up finishing line, finishing the race. Join me.
Again? Yes. Because with every end, there's a new beginning. And around every corner, there's a chance to start again. It is finished, he said with eyes pointed skyward. Christ's finished work on the cross was certainly an ending. Death's destruction. The last breath of Satan's hope. The crumbling wall between man and God. It is finished, he said. But with those three words, our story only begins to take shape. It was the last page of the book, but not nearly the end of an epic series. Our story was about to begin. We pick up the mic where Jesus dropped it. The powerful play goes on, that we may contribute a verse. We will pour out our lives like a drink offering, just as Jesus did. We build our floor on his ceiling. We stand on his shoulders. The spearhead has pierced the veil, and now we travel through easily. We will walk where he has pioneered before us, and where the trail ends and the woods are wild again, we will begin. So why do we finish? Why do we aim to end? To hear those simple yet all-satisfying words, well done, my good and faithful servant? Yes. But also because, like Jesus, there are others to come. And where our road ends, theirs begin. Who knows what dawn will rise from your dusk? Who knows what start will your finish begin? It's not about the loss, not about the win. It's about the beginning, the grit, and the end. Finishing, all to start again.
I love this analogy of racing. You know, I know that we find that there is starting lines I don't know about you, I tend to be a better starter than a finisher. Does anybody else join me on that? I mean, I can start up a project and start up some dreaming, and yet, have you ever find that it kind of gets lost in the other startups? How many have more than one startup going right now? See, I'm not alone, all right? And yet finish lines are good too, but today is like a finishing line, except our Lord was really putting on my heart, it's not one of those days you go, we're done. It was actually, you're starting. And a good picture of that is and I'm going to jump forward just a second, is like a raceway. The starting line is a finishing line. And we have some flat. That's the first time Tyler's run in church with it's actually the second time because he did it earlier, running in church with flags. I kind of wanted to explore that, you know. Ribbons will be next. Okay, never mind. But I was thinking about in the racetrack, and so we have some flags here, and I'm going to grab one of these in just a minute. But in the racing realm, before they had all the electronic headsets and things of that nature, you would be out on a track, and you would be out there with a lot of different other cars, and yes, you're running a particular track, but you're all really running your own race because you're driving your own vehicle and you're making your own decisions. But how will you know where you're at in the race? How do you communicate? And so what they would do is they'd say this one, and this is a green flag, right? And they'd say, on your mark, get set. And it's great. I love green. It's that starting thing. Let's go do something new. Let's go renovate something. Well, then along the way of life, things happen. And this is called a caution flag. I don't know about you. When I was a teenager, they'd say, you better be cautious. I threw caution to the wind. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right? And you've got to be careful, because if you're not too, if you keep throwing caution in the wind, all of a sudden somebody's going to throw a red card on you or a red flag. How many play soccer and get a red card? What does a red card mean? Not good. And so you get put in the penalty box, and that could be bound up, bruised, consequence, might call it. So we got the red flag. Now then there's the black flag. And everybody says, well, what's a black flag? And I guess I could come up with a lot of reasoning, but the black flag was something the driver did, means you're in trouble. Kind of reminds me of sin, but anyway, maybe not, maybe so. But you see how they could do it? Everybody's running their own race, but you're still kind of on the same raceway. And how do you know? Let's talk about your family. There are times you can be running fine. Everything's going great. You're following the Lord. You've got all your ducks in a row. And somebody, you find from the Lord, a yellow flag is thrown because somebody in your family, there's a caution. Something's not going right. And you have to adjust your pace to the pace of your family, to your pace of your situation. Now we all like, and I'm gonna prop these up here so I can have, I realize I'm not having enough hands here. So here's this one. Now in the culture of warfare, what is a white flag? A white flag is surrender. Oh, and that means I give up, okay, you win. I give up. And in a way, it's a negative connotation. You know, throw the towel in, you know, or if you're in wrestling, you know, anyway, it ends the deal, right? But in the racing world, actually this means what? Last lap. We're almost to the end. You got one more lap to drive this thing the best you've ever known how. This race is about over, and the checker flag's ahead. And can I tell you, for this church and your life and really the kingdom of God, Jesus is coming back. Because guess what? When he comes back, then this flag is the only thing going to be flown. And so he's telling the church today, he said, it's not surrender, give up. It's I've given it over, Lord, because we're going to go somewhere for your kingdom's sake. You see how the flags kind of fit in? It's a good thing to think about flags. You kind of look at those flags I gave you to celebrate, and you're thinking, I wonder if he's going to use that. Yes, I am, because you see these up here. First service didn't know where I was going. You already know a little bit where I'm headed. But that white flag can be used in celebration, but even our celebration is to be turned over to the Lord. It's to be given to him. It's to be surrendered. So when we look at starting and finishing, you know, a finishing line, I'm glad the notes paid off. We have no plans to go into a debt. In fact, I hope we can do kingdom things that are far beyond what we can think or imagine and be debt free. We raise the money. God does something that the offering plate doesn't even able to define. And what God does is something that would draw attention and glory to him. How about anybody for that? But a finish is a start. So what are we to do? I've had some people say, well, now that we've got all that paid for, what are we going to do? Can I tell you what we're going to do? We're going to wait on the Lord. We're going to do something. So I want to give you this white flag, final lap. And I'm going to take it back to this door. Yesterday we said doors, many opportunities. They can be opportunities of the Lord. It can be opportunities that are not of the Lord. Some you need to walk by. Some of you need to walk through. But let me, even in the scripture, it says that Jesus is the way. We talked about you stand at the door and knock, and he just says, you got to open the door. But can I tell you something? Even if this is salvation representation, we can sit here and go, man, that's a nice door. Man, look at that. Look at the frame on that door. Look how tall that door. Look at how it's painted. Look over here where it's got places for knobs. Isn't that cool? And we can look at that door and never walk through it. In fact, we can never open it. We can appreciate it, but never open it. But when we say in this the aspect or the metaphor of salvation, we have to open the door to the Lord and he will come in. So a door or a gate is moving from where you're at to something different. It's moving from this pasture to that. It's moving from this environment to that environment. And and we read earlier that last week is he holds the key of David to the doors of heaven, to all things. Today I want you to think of something, though, as surrender is connected to the door is open. I believe the door is open for this church and you. But look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us what? Also lay aside every weight, every sin which clings to us so closely. I'm adding a little word there. And let us run with endurance. Now, that is how I've read that verse many, many years. I'm going to cut away the sin. I'm going to be better at being persistent. It's all kind of in me. But can I tell you something? Look here. Look what it says here. It says what? The race that's what? Set before me. Did you set the race before you? No. God set the race before you. And there's this race that's before us, it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy, I love that part. Was that coming up again? That was set before him. The same is what we're to have, that we have set before us. That he endured the cross, despising the shame, and then is seated at the right hand of God the Father. So this door is open. And we can look at a Philippians, for instance, Philippians 3:12, and it says this, not that I've already obtained it. Now, how many in here have already obtained it? Because I'll let you finish the message. No, he's talking here. He says, I've not already obtained this, nor am I already perfected or perfect, but I press on to make it my own, this journey, this race, because Christ has made it his own. Brothers and sisters, verse 13, it says what? I do not consider that I've made it on my own, but one thing I do is forgetting what lies behind. And again, let me just explain, that doesn't mean forget the good things. You're supposed to learn from the past, but it's saying don't be afraid of going forward because of what didn't or did happen in the past. Sometimes we go, you know, we tried that about 10 years ago, didn't work, so we shouldn't try it in the future. Or you know what? They hurt me 20 years ago, and I'm never going to trust them now or in the future. See, there's things in our past that we should let go of because God's doing a fresh new work in you. How many are a little bit different than they were a year ago? You know, and that's how our Lord is. Can I tell you, I was a double knucklehead, and I'm only a single knucklehead now. I mean, some people used to call me, I was a piece of work. They're right. But I'm faithful, he says in the word, he who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it. Aren't you glad there's somebody bigger than you that's finishing the job? So look, it says, one thing I do is straining forward to what lies behind me. No, ahead. We've got a lot that God's affixing to do. That's a Guthrie term, by the way. Surrender. I want you to think of it as a threshold. A threshold, let's give a little definition of a threshold. It's the magnitude or intensity that must be exceeded for a certain reaction or phenomenon, result, or condition to occur or be manifest. You got to, when you hit this threshold, and I'm thinking about walking through a door, and I can't open this door. Thank goodness the Ace Hardware donated this. You always need to buy your doors at Ace Hardware. That was my commercial. Okay. Now, but if we opened it, it would fall down. So we're not going to open it. But imagine if that's opening. There's this threshold, and you've got to cross that. And it's saying, hey, look, it's the magnitude or intensity. It's you having to come, rise to a point in which something else is manifested. Surrender. It's to give oneself, to give Bill Williams, to give, you put your name in there, up into, didn't say upon, up into the power of another. And again, we in the secular world would say, oh, well, I'm just giving up. No, it's not giving up, it's given over. It's given over. That we read that throughout Scripture, that we're giving over things that trouble us, things that we deal with, things that need to, more than we can handle. This threshold. What's on the other side of the door? What are the things that maybe God's up to for you and your family? What could He do that you can't currently think or imagine? See, He knows you completed. He knew that before you ever were born. And He sees a beautiful you sometimes none of you have ever seen or have thought about. But that's in you because you were made into His image. And look at this verse here in Isaiah chapter 43. It says, thus says the Lord. I like those. He's not batting around with, I think, I might, it may. No, thus says the Lord who makes a way. I don't know what way you're needing made before you, but I can tell you who can take care of it, and that's the Lord Himself. So He makes a way in the sea and the path of mighty warriors. You know, sea, it could separate you from liberty. A sea is something that could be, you're trapped in something, or something's coming upon you like chariots and horses and armies and warriors, and He can make them light out. He says, they can't rise up, and I'll extinguish them. I'm kind of paraphrasing a little. But look at what 18 says. Again, remember, not the formal things, former things, nor consider the things of old. And say this word with me, verse 19. Behold, look to your neighbor like you just opened your wallet and behold, there was $100 you didn't know would be in there. Just don't, you go, behold. Now, I know if you're sitting with your spouse, you may not want to show them. Okay, no. Where'd you get that $100? We're going out to shopping today. No. Behold, I, not me, not you, I am doing a new thing. Now tell your spouse, He's doing a new thing in you, in me. He is a, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Okay, let that linger. Behold. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. I'm so glad He is the author and finisher. And I know that for this church, He's saying, hey, hey. And He's got people outside this building going, what? They're paying off a building. I've had people sending me thank yous and congratulations and just awesome job and high fives. They don't attend here. Isn't that a witness? And it's not anything I did, or it's what God did, and you allowed Him to touch your heart, and over time, we were faithful to Him, and He took care of it. But He's saying, hey, I can't do that commercial thing here, but He's just saying, look, behold. It can be happening right next to you, and if you don't behold it, you'll miss it. But He's saying, behold, I am doing a new thing through and around Community Church, Logan County, Oklahoma. I, not them, not Community Church, but I'm doing that. And He's saying, when you go out Monday morning, I'm doing a new thing in your workplace. I'm doing a new thing in your family. Do you behold it or are you missing it? He said, it springs forth. It's coming forth. It may not be fully a river or an ocean, but it's coming and it's live and it's real because our Lord is alive. Today. The Spirit is alive today. The question is, do you perceive it? He's saying, I'm making a way. He's going to make a way that will blow us away. He's going to make a way in the places where you're struggling financially, relationally, your children, your family, whatever is going on. He's making a way if we'll perceive it, and it'll be His way and not the way you may be thinking. So how would I wrap up such an amazing weekend? celebration, amazing weekend of having be debt free. How do I wrap that up? I'm going to do it with the flag that you have in your hand. There's a door that's open. For some of you, it may be the first time that you've actually had to ponder this, and you're thinking about this person called Jesus Christ. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one enters to the Father except through the Son. And so he's the door. Do you know how you get to the Father through the Son? Surrender. Some of you, maybe this may be the first time that you've thought about that, and I want you to think, is today the day that where I should surrender all to the Lord? Now, we've heard that song, and in fact, I've asked Jan to come up and in the background be playing that, but I want us to think about, have we surrendered all? Maybe you're thinking about there's some, like I say, relational things and things, but how about your business? Have you surrendered your business to the Lord? What have you not surrendered? Your health, your future, your joy, the need for companionship. Have you surrendered it to Him, or do you still hold on to it yourself? Because here's what I know, the Word and the Scripture says, and the God that I know and I've experienced, He wants to have you step across from where you're at, from bondage to freedom. From being lost to being saved. From an eternity separated from heaven to an eternity with the Lord forever and ever. He wants to take prodigals and bring them home. He wants to take relationships that are dead and resurrect them and put life back into them. So I want you to take, there's pins in the pockets in front of you, extra pins. Few pockets in front of you. I'd like you to take that flag, and I want you on one side, I want you to begin to write the things that I want to turn over to God. Remember, you're not giving up. You're still in the part of the equation. But I'm going to give it over. I'm surrendering these things to the Lord. But I want us to not just stop there on the other side of that flag. And this goes with, where is the Lord leading Community Church? Where is the Lord leading you and your family? On the other side, I want you to dream a little bit. And may I tell you, you can't dream bigger than God, but you can start inching that direction. God has a vision for your life. You may be fulfilling it to the best you know how, but He knows better. And so on the backside, begin to dream about what would happen, God, if you just came in and showed off in my business. You just came in and did something that I would dream of would happen in my family. You'd take my health and there would just be something happen to bring you glory. And it can't always be dictated by your design, but you can put before Him, I want you to get glory with my body and my health and my mind. I want you, and whatever that is, Lord, I'm surrendering it to you. So one side is surrender, one side is dreaming and placing the future, trusting the future in Him. You all do that, because I'm going to do the same thing. And then we're going to come up here, and I would encourage you to do this. A few people did it the first service. And then we're going to pray and close over this. But you bring it up here, and there's some extra pins up here too if you don't have one. And then we're going to put it on a little stand. We're going to set it here, and we're going to let God have it. Now, the cool thing about a flag, okay, is we hope that the Holy Spirit blows over that, moves over that, takes that, and connects heaven to your need. Would you agree with that? So take a minute. I'm going to sit here and take a minute. Write what you need to surrender that you've been carrying, and you need God to be the one now that does the carrying. And on the other side, dream with Him, and then we'll close here in just a minute. If you know the song, you can hum it or sing it, but let's take a minute and do that. And join me as you finish your flag. Come on up, and we'll put it up here together. want you to imagine something while we finish up here. There's no rush. I just began to get overwhelmed with what would happen if everything here, you would begin to see the move of God touching lives. I don't mean in your eyesight, not the flags wiggling. I'm talking about the things on the flags, the things in every life that was today released, that they stepped across a threshold from here to now with God here. Can you see it? I can just get over. See, I think God's still into the miraculous. And I don't mean up here on stage, but in his people, in lives that trust him. You all agree with that? In lives that trust God and put their faith in Jesus Christ, is he still in the business of meeting needs? Absolutely. I hope I'm close enough to get in on observing it, but I don't need to see it to know it happens. He touches hearts. He heals and mends brokenness. I was lame. Man, I may still be lame in some things, but now I can walk. Do you think? You see what I'm saying? I was blind and I can see. That's so many dimensions. If you'll join me by standing, we're going to pray. These may not be a pile of rocks, like in the Old Testament. I love that illustration. But can I tell you what? This is a testimony of what God's fixing to do. Y'all believe that? What would the celebration sound like? I know we just paid off a mortgage, and that was a big deal. What would happen if all, let's say half, 25% of everything putting down here happened, that God would begin to move across a body of believers and out into the streets, and the testimony that would break forth? Not a testimony of being, look at me, but a testimony of, look at God. Look what the Lord has done. Can I tell you, it'll change people. They'll be drawn to him. And that's what I see here more than anything. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you're that kind of God that loves us so dearly, but Lord, that you're present. And you have such a picture of our lives, Lord. When you're fully vested in us and us in you, Lord, it's just amazing. So, Father, today is a milestone in us individually and as a church. We have put before you requests that we're surrendering things to you, a request to carry some burdens, to intercede, to make a way for breakthrough. But Father, we've also put some dreams before you. And Lord, we know that you see the finish. We don't. But today's not a finishing line, but a starting line with you in a new way. So come into our hearts. Breathe. Blow your spirit. Bring everything through your word and through your spirit across these requests, across our lives. Lord, let us leave here encouraged, Lord, with anticipation of you moving in and through us for your glory and name's sake. And God's people said, amen. God bless you all. Hug somebody as you head out, and love God and love others. You're dismissed.